I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, the A-League Hour. This is episode 9 plus 10.
21.
Pre-scripted stuff, love it. My name is Jordan Gifkins. Today, I am joined by the homebound, Jake White. How you going, Sonny?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
That's good, Jake.
Thanks.
I thought you were going to call me Dad, but you know it's like or Daddy. Mooney. You could have called me Mooney.
I'll call you Daddy.
Big Cameron Mooney. As we said, episode 9 plus 10.
21.
Cringe. We've got lots to talk about today, Jake. Predominantly A-League, I will say that, because it is the A-League podcast, and that's what we tend to do on the A-League podcast. We also got...
I'd hope so.
We also got a bit of Socceroos to talk about.
Socceroos.
They've played two games in the space of time since our podcast last week. We're going to go in depth a little bit on that, talk about how we played... how some of the individual players played, the new formation, etc. We'll touch on all that after we talk about the latest week in the A-League, which will kick off things with a controversial topic regarding it, which is scheduling, Jack. I'm sure you'll go in-depth in that probably when we talk about Victory versus Brisbane, because there were a few outs, to say the least, from that game. But before we get into that game, we'll kick things off on Friday night, 24th of March last week. Western Sydney hosted Melbourne City. Western Sydney have really turned around their fortunes, but they weren't without a scare early. Neil Kilkenny opening and scoring in the third minute, but from there it was just Christmas time in Wonderland as Santelab went bang, bang, bang and delivered presents for the Western Sydney Wanderers. 22nd minute, 64th minute and 68th minute. Rounded out a Western Sydney 3-1 win. Santelab scoring a hat-trick. I'm not sure if it's his first hat-trick in the A-League or not. I feel like he might have scored one or two potentially before. But nonetheless, a great effort from Western Sydney, who continue to prove that they could well and truly be a finals contender when we get there in a few weeks from now. They've smashed. Well, yeah, I will say smashed because it was 3-1. The statistics are pretty even, but... they've beaten City 3-1. They've beaten Sydney FC, the only team to beat them this season, 1-0. And they've definitely proved that they can match it with some of the best here, Jake. So no surprise if Western Sydney do get a scalp or two in the finals and really surprise a few people. They are sitting sixth on the table, but they're only a point below fifth. So they could go deep into finals, we'll see. But Melbourne City obviously disappointed with the efforts, missing the likes of Fernando Brandão still, obviously, out with injury. Cahill was on international duty, but still a reasonably strong squad, and one that probably should have done better than they did, Jake. So a 3-1 win for Western Sydney. What was your take on the game if you watched it?
I did watch it, and I was surprised by the result. But Western Sydney are proving that they could, as you said, have a decent say come finals time. They're looking good. When they're on, they're playing some very, very good football. And I said last week that both these two teams had their best games of the season in game week 23 and game week 24. City started well, but Western Sydney again, I think, overtook what I said last week. And I think this was the best performance from Western Sydney this week. And it was very good to watch for their sake. And yeah, it's just a weird one because now, in all fairness to them, they're only sitting 1 point off fifth place as well. So it's not like they're...
Five points as well off fourth.
Yeah, so it's not like they're just like sewn up top six now. They're pushing to potentially have a crack at a home final, which is ridiculous to think of probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But yeah, well done to them. Santelab scored 5 goals in 2 games, which is very good for him, and he's pushing potentially for Socceroos call up come Confederations Cup if he keeps that form up, because I think he would add a bit more to the Socceroos than what Nathan Burns does. And so well done to Western Sydney. And again, Nico Martinez was absolutely class again. So I think he'd be in a fair few people's team of the season coming out of the season.
I like how you're getting on my bandwagon here, Jake, of Santelab and the Socceroos. I've said it to a few people, even before he scored that hat-trick on the weekend. But I think
you said it last podcast.
Yeah. I think it's testament to him that, and funnily enough, the week that the Socceroos are out in camp and a bit more in the limelight on the A-League players who aren't in the Socceroos squad, Santelab comes out and scores a hat-trick. So, I don't know. I feel like he would have been very, very handy against Iraq, but
especially with the type of player he is. He's not exactly a player.
He's just an opportunist. He is just an opportunist. Great finisher. We'll get more into that when we talk about the Socceroos a little bit later, Jake. But for now, we'll kick on. Central Coast Mariners host to Adelaide United. They took the lead. Central Coast, Appiah Kubi in the 44th minute, heading past a desperate Gelikovic in goal. Papa Diawara then popped up after half time to make it 1-1. Dylan McGowan in the 61st minute made it 2-1 to Adelaide, and Diawara popped up again in the 66th minute. He's second of the game. He's fourth in the last three for Adelaide United. Made it 3-1 to Adelaide. Smooth sailing. Roy O'Donovan late penalty, the only consolation Central Coast could muster. Or the second, I guess. I don't really know. Central Coast, as they do, dominate possession. Adelaide had slightly more shots in a game that was really the deciding factor in who's going to get wooden spoon this season. Fortunately for Adelaide United, they got up and they move off the bottom of the table probably for the first time this season, I think. So good on them. They're 10 points outside the top six. They can't make it, unfortunately, after Western Sydney's win. imagine though, they just turn around and made top six. That'd be crazy. But good signs for Adelaide, I guess. They've had a pretty average season. Let's not beat around the bush. They've been dog shit. But
beating around the bush, tell you that
much. Yeah, I mean, they'll be disappointed with their season, but if they can end with a few wins, I'm sure they'll take positives out of the end of the season. Jake, Central Coast, unfortunately, have just faltered since they were challenging for a top six for the most part of the first half of the season. They've just gone off the rails a little bit. They've sort of probably just lost energy, can't keep up with it anymore. And unfortunately for them, Jake, it looks like they'll be finishing last this season. I think we can't really say they're going to finish above last now, but positive signs, I guess, for the most part of the season.
Yeah, it's very disappointing though, because I don't think that they deserve to be touted as a wooden spoon this year. But in all fairness to Adelaide, they were the better team in this game. They deserved 3 points. I think Central Coast it's probably not really harsh, but I think they're just a bit mentally weak, really. I think they've realised that they're not going to finish in the top six, and they've all just basically packed it in and given up for the rest of the season, which is very disappointing to see considering some of the class football they have put on this season. But I guess Adelaide have a bit more to play for in a way, because they're trying to put some performances together while leading into some Champions League games. So they're trying to keep up some form and play decent football, because they've still got Champions League to play for, and Central Coast don't have anything to play for. But yeah, like I said, it's just disappointing to see, because they don't deserve to be last at all. They had a fair few games this season where they could have won and they only got a draw, or where they drew, well, where they could have got a point and they lost. But at the end of the day, you've got to take your chances, and it's very disappointing to see a team with so much potential end up probably finishing last. They haven't finished last yet, obviously, but at the same time, you think Adelaide may get another win or two for the rest of the season, and Central Coast have Brisbane away this week. They're not going to get anything right. They have an F3 derby. They could potentially get a point or two from that, but then they have victory in the last round.
A point or two.
a point or three, and then
walk away with 2 points.
Melbourne. So, doubt they're going to be getting too many points for the rest of the season, which is disappointing for them. But at the end of the day, you've got to take your chances. And yeah, big old mate Papa as well, getting 3 goals in 2 games. What a beast!
The man, the myth, the legend, Papa.
I'm not even going to attempt to say his last name, so I'm just going to call him Papa.
Diawara.
The Mungret Footy Chat.
Reckon that I'm Portuguese football chat. No, I don't even know. Brisbane Roar hosted victory, Jake, in this tie up in Brisbane. Jamie McLaren, 51st minute goal, the one that separated the two teams. A worldie of a goal, it can be said. Just an opportunist sort of goal, I guess. I don't even know. Jamie Vardy-esque, we'll say. But shit defence. I'm not going to beat around the bush again here, Jake. Why Victoria letting the ball bounce there? I have no idea. But that's
wish I could tell you.
That's their decision and not mine. Victoria played a few youngsters in this game. George Howard starting up top for Berisha, who was on international duty. Stefan Negro in midfield for Troisi. Defence was pretty much the same. We saw the first of Cameron McGlip and Christian Theoharis. I'm going to predict that's how you say his name. Who made way for Negro and Austin and Georgievski. And I don't even know who subs on for who. But that was that. Victory weren't bad. They produced a few chances. Probably the one chance that stands out was Guerrier's header that he blocked himself on the line for some reason. Brisbane probably produced more chances. The goal, apart from the goal, sorry, was his name? Hingett, I think it was, who produced an absolute worldie of a ping. Great save by Lawrence. Had a couple other chances. Holman hitting the crossbar or the side post, whatever the fuck it's called. But yeah, it was a decent effort from Victory, considering they were undermanned. Another decent effort from Brisbane as well. They had a few players out here and there. Good to see Coletti getting a start. And from all accounts, he played pretty well. I can't comment too much because I wasn't watching the game, but I'm sure you have a bit to say on this, Jake. The scheduling, though, is the main topic we will talk about on this one because for some unknown reason, Victory got a week off last week. Brisbane might have last week, I'm not 100%.
No, they had the week off the week before.
Yeah, so Brisbane given a week off 2 weeks ago, Victory last weekend to aid the Champions League teams, I believe. And we have an international break now. And teams like Brisbane, like Victory, like... Well, not Brisbane as much. They still produce a fairly strong side. Victory, more so. Melbourne City lost a couple of players.
Wellington lost half the team.
And still won 5-0. it just goes to show that I think international breaks are needed for the A-League. Not only just as a refresher for the squads, but... So teams aren't hindered because we have got a salary cap and we can't just have big squads... And not every team has depth well enough to cover, you know, like Victory, 4 players out. They had to start, you know, fringe players like Stefan Negro, George Howard. You know, we had McGlip and Theoharis coming off the bench. Like, they're not bad players. They're young players. They're promising players, but they're not probably ready yet for the A-League. Stefan Negro probably the only player they're good enough realistically to start in the A-League. But, yeah, it's not good. It doesn't look good. Kevin Muscat came out and slammed it, as no surprise that he would. Fact here, Jake, we're the only top division league in the world, in a single country, that doesn't have an international break.
Mm-hmm.
So make of that what you will. For me, that's a little bit dumb and making us look bad. Because I was looking at the foothead.com plug, looking at the Team of the Week predictions, Jake, and everyone, they were going on about international break, players getting in the Team of the Week for the international break, and you see Brennan Sanso sitting at the bottom, being like, talking about his domestic performance. doesn't bode well when the description of his performance is. Surprisingly, the Australian Domestic League was played this week.
Mm-hmm.
When people around the world can't believe that we are playing on international break. It says something, doesn't it? But yeah, Jake, I'm sure you're going to have a bit of a rant here, maybe.
It was the same. I went to Brisbane round one and Victory didn't have Rojas because round one, we kicked off the season in round one during an international break. So teams were affected in round one because players were off on internationals. Like,
could you schedule the season to start a week later, maybe?
Literally, round one, there were teams affected from internationals.
What's dumb here, Jay, is that FFA knows exactly when the FIFA dates are, when international dates are scheduled. They do them at least a year in advance.
The Socceroos World Cup qualifiers are all scheduled all the way up until our last World Cup qualifier in November, and that was done when we first started the World Cup qualifiers, like the second stage of the World Cup qualifiers. So that was probably, April last year, maybe? Yeah.
And no doubt the FIFA dates for international breaks are already set leading up to the World Cup.
Exactly. So I obviously am not happy with it. I don't really want to go into a massive rant, but it is absolutely pathetic. And I personally have no problem with travelling to Brisbane to watch my football club play and have more and get to see our young players play, because I love seeing young players get a crack and see the talent come through the system and everything like that. But obviously I would rather travel and see our class players play and get the 3 points, because I literally went into an away game that I've spent a lot of money on going to thinking we're going to lose like 4 or 5 nil, and realistically a team in second place shouldn't be thinking that. And it's just one of those ones where it's not that hard to use your fucking brain, realistically. It's not like teams are going to be affected. The team I feel sorry most for is Wellington Phoenix. I know they won 5-0, but they had 7 players out on international duty. So, but the one thing that Wellington do have and a lot of other teams in Australia don't have is Wellington have basically every single player in New Zealand football at their disposal to use, which is, and they have a lot of depth in their squad, which is good for them, obviously. But it's just, and on the game, I was impressed with the way we played. I think we shouldn't have lost. We were the better team in the second half by an absolute mile. But that doesn't excuse anything, because if you add Choisi, Berisha, Rojas and Ingham into that team, we win, in my opinion. So it's just not that hard to use your brain. Like, I've gone on, in the last 3 years, I've gone on 11 away trips, and 5 of those have been affected by international duty. 2 of those in Adelaide, 2 of those in Brisbane, and 1 of those in Sydney. So it's not even one of those ones where it's just a one-off. And but I'm not saying it's biased. Like, I'm not saying this in a biased way against Victory, but I'm going to put my 2 cents worth on it, is I'm travelling to see my team play against rival teams as well. And I'm seeing, and no offence to George Howard, but this is offensive, I'm seeing fucking George Howard play up front for Melbourne Victory. And George Howard shouldn't be starting up front for Melbourne Victory. Mm. No offence to him. He's a good young player and he has a lot of potential. But realistically speaking, George Howard's not a player that should be starting up front in an A-League game for a second-place team. And that shouldn't even be a thing that should be happening. There's no reason why they couldn't have an international break. And you could throw your 2 cents worth into this too, because you couldn't watch the Socceroos game last night because you were in an FFA Cup game. Mm. Because the scheduling is fucking retarded with that too. What is the point of having FFA Cup games on the night that the Socceroos are playing?
Mm.
Like, realistically, it's not. And that's why it's so embarrassing, because you just, like you just said, on Foothead, they had something, surprisingly, the Australian League was played this week, because it is surprising and it's fucking stupid. because it shouldn't be played. And I love seeing football every single week, and I'm one of those people that puts my club ahead of my country. But at the same time, my club's also affected because the country's playing, and I don't have any problem with Australia playing. I still watch every single Australia game, whether they're playing overseas or at home. But it's one of the, like, every club's affected basically in Australia. Like, Perth were affected, Sydney were affected, we were affected, City were affected, Brisbane were going to be affected, but they weren't. Wellington obviously affected. Newcastle, I think, were affected through the Young Socceroos squad. So
Nick Cowburn, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, why not have... And the thing that pisses me off the most about it is what you said before as well. There was a fucking split round the week before. So Victory had a week off last week when we had all of our players at our disposal, fit, ready to play. We were training through at Gosha's Paddock every single week. We had Troisi, Berisha, Ingham, Rojas training all week at Gosha's Paddock. Had nothing to do on the weekend because we had a week off. And then the next week we have to play when we're depleted. That's what I don't understand, is why would you bring in a split round? And if it's to accommodate the teams that are in the Champions League, how about accommodating the teams in the Champions League by allowing a bigger salary cap so you can have bigger squads? That's one way to accommodate the teams in the Champions League, not having weeks off, because no team, no clubs in Europe or in Asia or anything like that have weeks off to accommodate the Champions League. They have bigger squads to accommodate teams in Champions League. So if they want to use their brains with that and think, well, the split round's a great idea, how about fucking making the salary cap bigger so you can have bigger squads?
That brings better quality to the league and you get more fans.
Exactly, because there's a lot of players, and I think you could back me up on this too. I reckon there's a lot of players probably in NPLs all over the country. There's a fair few players in those leagues that are probably good enough to be playing in the A-League, or at least playing as backups for the A-League.
Completely.
100%. Like, there was a bloke that was playing for Newcastle at the start of the season that's playing for Bentley now, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like he's not at all anywhere near, like, far away from the A-League quality, because he was playing in the A-League at the start of the season.
Well, I think we can look at Danny Choi, Adelaide United. Not sure if you remember him. He played against you guys and hit the post late on, I think.
Yeah, and he scored a few months before this, if I can't.
Yeah, so he's come from Blacktown, I think it is, or Redlands or something. He's come from an NPL side that's done well in the FFA Cup, scored a worldie, got everyone's attention, etc., etc. And he's coming to the A-League. I thought he was really impressive.
Yeah, once. He nearly buried us 2-1. Like, yeah. It was 1-1 and he nearly scored against us.
One,
but he came off the bench.
One of the quickest players I've seen in the A-League. And he almost scored against Mel Victor, like he said. He was causing havoc in the A-League. But what happens? He gets a little injury. Not even a big injury. I think he hurt his hand and he would have missed like a week.
Mm.
And then they dropped him from their roster. Like, he was nowhere to be seen. He literally, I think he got a slight injury. Someone came back in, or they signed, I think they signed Guardiola, or they signed, someone came into the squad, and then he was sacked from Adelaide.
Yeah, because they didn't have enough cap space or squad space for him.
Yeah, and it's not
That's
like,
literally the reason.
It's not like he wasn't good enough. He was,
exactly, he should be playing in the A-League.
Yeah, he should still be with Adelaide. Who knows? If they had him throughout the whole season, he's that spark off the bench that could have turned games, could have turned their season.
Exactly.
You don't know. 100%. I mean, I don't want to read too much into it and think he's going to stop them from being second last in the table and put him into a finals position, because, I mean, it probably wasn't the case. But he could have provided a spark that, instead of them just getting off the bottom of the table now, they could have been challenging for a finals position or something like that. Like, there's players like that, but he's gone. He's out of the system. And I reckon part of the reason to that is them thinking, oh, he was just an NPL player. Like, it's no big deal. Like, he had a run. He did okay, but he's not good enough. Like, he proved in his performances for Adelaide that he was good enough.
I don't want to sit here and slate the FFA every single podcast we have, but they make it so easy for us.
Yeah,
and it's really...
every week.
It's so concerning. Like, it is really concerning because... You, me, and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in this country want football to grow. And the most concerning thing for me is the reason why football isn't growing is because of the people that are in the offices. It's not because of crowds not turning up or we don't have enough quality or there's not enough interest, because there's a fucking lot of interest. Football's the most played sport in this country. So there's a lot of interest. It's so concerning, because the only reason football's being stopped from growing is because of the people in the offices, because of the people that run football in this country. That's the only reason why football isn't growing, because of the people that run the football in this country. And that shouldn't at all make any sense.
No.
All right, let's move on.
I reckon one day we're going to have to get a guest on this show. Someone that just fucking David hates fucking the Gallup. FFA. Yeah, anybody. We'll get someone that just hates the FFA. We'll get their 2 cents on it.
And no,
we'll
I stand with
45 about, minutes of rant.
I stand with about 3,000 of those people every single week. So I could
go fucking pick one right this week.
Well, if you're listening to this and you're interested, drop us a message on Facebook and we'll happily accommodate you in the next episode. We'll quickly move on, because I don't want to spend too much time here on this, because we'll probably have another rant about the FFA when we're talking about the Socceroos in a little bit. Wellington Phoenix, Newcastle, obviously Wellington heavily depleted, but like you said, heaps of depth. They were fortunate that Costa Barbarousis didn't go with the national team, which was very surprising. I would have thought he'd be one of the up and coming, but he is one of the better players for New Zealand. But Wellington didn't seem too fazed by it all. They won 5-0. 21 shots on goal in this one. Commanding performance. Newcastle weren't without their chances. Naboo maybe could have got a couple. Andrew Hall was in a couple of times. Nordstrand. It could have been a very different game if they'd completed a few of their shots. But nonetheless, Wellington win 5-0. And a big win for them. Does mean they are still a sneaky chance of making finals, but it looks unlikely after Western Sydney's recent form, Jake. I think Wellington can be happy, though, with a big win here.
Yeah, I was very surprised as well. And I think it wasn't more so me being surprised that Wellington won. I think it was more I was so surprised at how bad Newcastle were. Because I watched this game and they honestly didn't have a sniff the whole game. Like, it wasn't even like they had a few missed chances and they were unlucky. Wellington realistically had the better of the chances. Like, if you look at the stats, it does read 50% possession each and Wellington 21 shots, Newcastle 18. But if you actually watch the game, Wellington dominated from start to finish. Newcastle didn't have a sniff all game. They didn't help themselves. And it's very very concerning as well, because me and you have been saying all season about how exciting the young teams are of Central Coast and Newcastle. But
their age is showing now.
If Adelaide win this week and Newcastle lose, so the bottom two is Newcastle and Central Coast. So it's very concerning about how poor Newcastle did play, because they didn't look good at all. And the class of players like Barbarousis, Finkler and Bonavarsia did shine through, which is good for Wellington as well, because they did have a lot of players out. But it's good to see their more experienced players and their class players did step up for this game. So it's good for them. And I'm happy to see that for their sake. And happy that they got 3 points due to with all those players out, because I just didn't really expect that at all. It wasn't that I didn't expect Wellington to play well, it was more I just didn't expect Newcastle to play that bad.
Well, you know you're struggling when you've got Jason Hoffman in your defence, Nigel Bogard also, and Daniel Mullen coming off the bench. So, I mean, it doesn't bode well for him. They really need, like, I know we've said it's young and exciting. They've got a lot of young talent. Naboo, Hull, Ugarkovic, Katrumbas is in there, Lachlan Jackson. All young players starting most weeks for Newcastle. Jack Duncan even's not too old, I think about 22, 23. But it's just those older players that are supposed to be experienced and supposed to lead the youngsters in the right direction. They're being led by Hoffman, Bogard. You know, Brown's not bad, but Nordstrand, Coco, they haven't showed much this season in regards to experience. They've certainly got experience, but just, you know, trying to show the youngsters the right way forward. Wayne Brown's probably the only player there I can point out as being a vocal leader on the pitch that does lead by example in parts. He's a very passionate individual. And he's a good player. But, you know, Coco, he hasn't offered pretty much next to nothing for Newcastle this season. Nordstrand's has his up and downs, but I wouldn't categorise him as one of the upper-class players in the A-League at all. Hoffman, I mean, we've had our say on Hoffman a fair few times.
This was just one of those games where Naboo needed to grab it with both hands and really prove himself, I think. And it was a great chance for him. And he was anonymous the whole game. He was an absolute myth. And it was very concerning about that too, because it's always hard for a lot of players to travel over to New Zealand. New Zealand's a very, very tough place to go. And I've seen Victory players of the highest order, like Berisha, even Rojas, realistically, disappear when we travelled to New Zealand. But it's just disappointing because Wellington were so depleted that Naboo couldn't just take the game with both hands and basically make it his own. But Newcastle, I think they have the foundation there, but they just need to ship out these sort of players like Bugard, Hoffman, and sort of take a little leaf out of Central Coast's book in a way.
Yeah, I think they need to replace those with younger players and just give them experience and grow them. You know? We'll move on to the last game, Perth Glory hosting Sydney FC. We expected a Perth win here, but it's quite the opposite. Sydney FC winning 3-0. Lucian Goyan on debut for Perth, the central defensive midfielder, 34 years old from Romania. he popped one into his own net early on, 38 minutes in. Brandon O'Neill, a player that potentially, for some, a bit stiff to miss out on Socceroos selection. He put his critics, that's in the Socceroos camp, to bed with a wondrous goal just outside the 18-yard box, just stamping his credentials even more. Bobo should have scored earlier in the game, but did so in the 63rd minute. To give Sydney a convincing 3-0 win, Perth were very, very off in this one. Just the 5 shots on goal. Didn't test Andrew Redmayne in goal, which you'd think they would have wanted to at pre-game. They weren't depleted in the slightest either. They pretty much had a full squad to choose from. Goyan, obviously the only player coming in. He came in for Griffiths. Apart from that, that was the only change. Everyone else played, you know, Keo Taggart, Castro, Harold. And they got done 3-0. So, interesting, but I'm sure Perth will take a few lessons from this game. Sydney FC just proving why they're the minor premiers. They went over there, did the job, smacked them, and they're home with another win, Jake. It's a great season for them, and good form leading into finals.
Oh, class. They deserve 3 points. I didn't really expect it either. Like, with someone like Redmayne in goals for them, I just didn't really expect Sydney to do too much. Redmayne played something like 6 or 7 games for Western Sydney this season and didn't keep a clean sheet, plays 1 game for Sydney and gets a clean sheet. So I guess that's fair play to him and Sydney. Sydney played well. They accommodated losing Grant really well too, putting Brulante in at right back because he's well known that he can play at right back as well. And he did really well in that position, as I would have thought he would too, because he's a very good player. And it just proves how good their depth is, bringing in someone like Dimitrovic in off the bench, in from like their squad into a starting position at defensive mid. He's not exactly a horrible player to be bringing into starting team. So, well done to Sydney. They played really well. They're the best team that I've seen in the A-League for about 6 years, which is very good for them. One of the best I've ever seen, realistically. And when you've got players like a Beanie that you can bring in from the bench every single week, I don't think that's going to phase Sydney too much, because he's a very, very good player and he could probably be starting for about 8 A-League teams right now. So,
yeah. I think it's just Sydney's depth is unreal.
Yeah.
Carney on the bench still, Calvar, Bernie Abini, Matt Simon. Remember that Central Coast Mariners, we had a go at them having Nasevski as backup?
Yep.
Tom Heward-Bell was sitting back up for Sydney FC this week.
It's their third keeper.
Yeah.
They played well. I didn't really expect too much from it. I thought it was going to be a draw, personally. that Perth really, really did miss Williams, which it's not too surprising because Williams is one of the better centre backs that I've seen play in the A League in a while. But at the same time, you've got to adjust to that, I guess, because I think that's the problem with a lot of teams outside of Victory in Sydney, is those teams don't really have a lot of depth. Like if you take a few players out of Perth team, or if you take a few players out of Brisbane's or Cities, they're really depleted. But Victory and Sydney, not too much. I know Victory did lose, but realistically, they've taken Victory's front four off them. If you take Sydney's front four of Bobo, Ninkovic, Brosk and Holosko off of them, I don't think they're going to be doing too much either, realistically. Mm. But fair play to Sydney. They covered that very well. Oh, it's very smart of Graham Arnold to put Brillante into right back and bring Dimitrovic in. They outclassed Perth again, and they got the 3 points quite comfortably again.
We'll quickly kick on because we do have a bit to talk about still with Socceroos, etc., and the preview for this next week. But the table, Sydney FC minor premiers confirmed last week. Sydney FC sit on 59 points, 14 ahead of Melbourne Victory in second. They're on 45 points, massive gap there for Sydney FC. Melbourne City a bit further back on 36 points. Brisbane Roar in fourth, also on 36 points. Perth Glory on 32 points. Western Sydney on 31 points. Pretty even down the bottom of the bottom six. Pretty much confirmed. We will know by, I think, this weekend, probably, if that front top six is ever going to change. Wellington Phoenix, they sit in seventh on 26 points. Newcastle Jets on 22. Adelaide on 21. Central Coast on 20. That race to the Wooden Spoon. The very wanted Wooden Spoon is well underway. I have no idea. Statistically speaking, the top scorers in the league, Jake Bessart Brisher leads all comers with 18. The Kosovo international, what a man. Bruno Fornaroli on 17 in second place. McLaren has 15. Brendan Santilab has 14. Rojas and Bobo have 12 each. In regards to assists, Bobo. Rojas has 11 assists. Ninkovic has 10. Harold Nichols have 7. And Krishna Kamau, Nico Martinez and Hammers Troisi have 6 each for the season. For total passes a game, Matt McKay, 62.7 per game, 1,380 this season. I'm just saying. Neil Kilkenny has the most red cards with 10. That's not surprising. That's all, we're going to talk about. With that, let's do the play of the season.
What was that?
That was the play of the season tune.
Jake. We actually need to get some tunes in for next season.
Play of the season. Absolutely.
All right.
Hotcakes.
Jordan, would you like to take it away?
I would. I would just like to know where the leaderboard is for the player of the season.
Have you done what I asked you to do last week?
What did you tell me to do last week?
Put all the players into order.
No. I'm literally not even sure where the leaderboard is. So this could be
catastrophic.
Yeah, this could be catastrophic. You know what, Jake? It's something we have to work through. I'm literally going to have to go through every single episode of this, aren't I, to figure out exactly where stuff is. I didn't delete it either. I literally didn't delete it. I'm slowly going to cry myself to sleep. Yeah, on in.
Oh no, Jordan.
We'll just kick on. I'll fill it in. I'll go back through everything and fill it in. Jake.
Yeah.
One vote, mate.
My one vote goes to the central midfielder of Sydney FC, Brandon O'Neill. He was a very, very good player on Sunday evening against Perth. Getting a very good goal as well, and I think he's been a very, very good player all season. He gets my one vote, Jordan.
Jake, my one vote going to Brandon O'Neill as well. I think he's a very, very good player and deserved his goal on the weekend. He has been an outstanding contributor to Sydney FC this season. And I think he deserves a spot in the Socceroos at some point in the near distant future. Maybe.
He is and still... a spot in Melbourne Victory central defensive midfield.
Wouldn't it be nice if the world was Cadbury, Jake? O'Neill gets a vote from me.
My two votes, Jordan, go to the former Melbourne Victory winger, now Wellington Phoenix winger, Kostas Barbaroussis. He was absolutely class for Wellington, a depleted Wellington team who dispatched of Newcastle 5-0, and he got himself a goal and a cheeky two assists as well. So he gets my two votes, Jordan.
Jake, my two votes this week going to Big Balls Papa Diawara from Adelaide United.
Big balls, eh?
Probably. The Adelaide United front man from Portugal put on a clinic as he added two goals to his tally this season to take it to four in the last three. I can't tell you if he scored before that. I'm not sure, but he's in good form. And he deserves credit because he's been pretty good, to be honest, since coming in a few weeks ago. I don't know when, to be honest, but I don't know. He's scoring goals, so that's what they need, Adelaide. Good on him. He's better than Guardiola. three votes, Jake, and I think we're probably going to be in sync on this one, aren't we?
I think I can probably speak on behalf of both of us here, Jordan, on the three votes going to the man who I think and you think should be in the Socceroos squad.
We think.
Brendan Santa, the Santa man, Santa lab.
Santa the Santa man. Santa's little helper lab.
He got three goals this week, two goals last week. That's 5-2 games for those playing at home, and he's just been absolutely nice. Class. Wears his heart on his sleeve, and he deserves a Socceroos call.
Jake, we are in sync, I think. Yes. I'm going to give him three votes to the man delivering the presence for Western Sydney this season. Sits fourth in the Golden B, which is the Golden Boot, the GB. The boot to his gold. Good on him. So the leaderboard currently leads Santalap on 6 votes, leads all comers. O'Neill, Barbaroussis and Papa Diawara all have 2 votes each. And that's the leaderboard this week.
I'm so fucking... Legit, it's going to take you so long to go through all the podcasts.
You have to go to the end of the review every week, I guess. 21 times.
Do you enjoy that, Jordan?
Yep. We'll kick ons. Let's do kick ons. The Socceroos. Kick ons at Cloud. let's talk about it, Jake.
Yeah.
Well, let's not elude from the fact that the Socceroos picked up 4 points over the international break, a draw in Iraq, a win back home against the UAE. Is it good enough? I don't know. Is it? Iraq toiled hard, and they got the deserved draw. Possibly we should have lost that one, Jake. The Socceroos starting their proceedings in this international break with a draw in Iran on neutral territory. The lineup to that one was a talking point pre-game here, Jake, because of the new 3-4-2-1 formation. Langrak in goal, Deganek, Bailey Wright and Mark Milligan in the defence, Jednak and Luongo in a holding midfield role in front of them, Moy and Irvine. On the right, Cruz. On the left, Lecky and Juric leading the line for Australia. We didn't play well. I'll put it straight out. We played like shit. We've gone to versus Iraq. Iraq's not a bad team, don't get me wrong. But are they on our level? No. I mean, they're not. All their players literally play probably in the Iraq Premier League.
Is that even the league?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. It's just, it's an unfortunate result, really, because we did have the lead going at halftime. We scored on the stroke of halftime. Matt Leckie latching onto an Aaron Moy cross or from a corner. And we just couldn't hold on. I mean, we had chances. We had Aaron Moy fluffed a sitter probably could have scored two or more, to be honest. Juric just struggled to get involved, really. Robbie Cruz, Jake, is an absolute fraud of a player. I do not like him at the slightest. I know a lot of people agree with me that he is just not up to scratch at the moment. And it hasn't been for a long time, and I think he's just being caught out now, and fair enough, because he has struggled when he's played for Australia, especially probably since the Asian Cup. I feel like the Asian Cup, he wasn't bad for us.
He's very good in the Asian Cup, in all fairness, but yeah, I agree, ever since that, he's dropped off a fair bit.
Yeah. Jednak, I've never been a fan of Jednak. I know he's a leader and stuff, but his passing pisses me off. Moy is not looking... didn't look too good. I mean, he did play not too bad, but in the first half anyway, but I thought probably expected a little bit more from a player of his calibre. Jackson Irvine, Jake, wasn't bad in this one. We'll talk about him in a little bit in the next game. Luongo didn't touch it. The back three, experimental back three, I thought struggled. And Mitch Langrack was our best player on the pitch. So, Jake, I know you watched it. I know we were both pretty pissed off, I guess. By this, not only the result, but just the way we play. Like, it's a different story in this one if we played really well and just didn't get the win. And then we can talk about something different in regards to finding just a clinical path to goal, and that can be our issue. But our issue is we went there, we played like shit, we didn't find a path to goal enough times, and we didn't control the game. And that's something that you expect we would do. That's something that under Postecoglou we've been known to control the ball, control the play, pass it around, be patient, wait for opportunities to open up and then take it. But we didn't do that at all. And credit to Iraq, they toiled hard. They were definitely at least deserving of a draw. I feel like they probably should have won. If it wasn't for Langrak, they would have scored three, let's be honest. But yeah, just unfortunate, Jake, and does not bode well, considering we have to play really well from here on in to qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. I think me and you in the group chat made our feelings on not getting the win there well known, but what can you do, really? That's football. Iraq took their chance, we really didn't, and yeah, it was disappointing that we couldn't get the win, because it would have been a very, very big win. Like we said last week, it would have been massive. We could have got the 6 points from the two games, but yeah, it's just a bit draining, I guess. There's not much you can do about it. You move on from it, and we've moved on from it really well by getting a win last night, but yeah, it's just, you know, just so frustrating, because it would have been such a huge feat if we could have got 6 points from the two games, and then we copped that really shit goal, and then it's 1-1, and like, it was deserved too. We didn't deserve to win that game in Iraq, well, in Iran, in the slightest. Like, they weren't the better team, but we weren't the better team by any stretch of the imagination either. So, yeah, it's a very draining game. It was disappointing by a few players, the way they turned up. Langrath was very, very good, in my opinion. It's disappointing the way he conceded the goal, but in the same sense, he did make a fair few good saves. And yeah, just the players didn't really turn up, and it was disappointing. I think Moy was very disappointing. I feel like Moy's going to be one of those players that, and it's fair enough because it's the style of football he plays, and it would be the same with a lot of players. I think on shit pitches, he's not going to play well. Because like, if he was to play yesterday, I reckon he would have taken the game with both hands and just shat all over.
Rogic, very similar.
Yeah, exactly the same. And it's going to be very good for Australia too, having Rogic and Moy hopefully come back into the... Well, Moy will be there, but hopefully Rogic can come back into the squad come next internationals, for the next internationals as well. But I guess the upside from... we'll go on to the next game in a sec, but the upside from the games, I guess, are the fact that Troisi and Jackson Irvine are also staking a claim for that number 10 spot as well for the Socceroos.
Well, yeah, and you said it just there. Like, if we play on a good pitch, we win, 100%.
We haven't lost yet. That's the main thing for me, is we haven't lost. So I know we're still sitting third, and we'd rather not go through the playoffs to qualify. But the main thing for me right now, and it's disappointing the way we have got a few draws, but the main thing is we haven't lost. So it's not like we're going out to play Iraq away or play Thailand away and we're going out getting dominated and getting shat on and coming away with absolutely nothing, because we haven't lost a game yet. So we've just got to hope, because we go to Japan, we're going to be on a good pitch in Japan. So I'd back us to have a decent crack there. So it's not all lost yet. It's disappointing, but realistically, we're not going to play in any more shit pitches for the rest of qualifying.
I think our issue is that Japan and Saudi Arabia have both played 7 games and they've won 5 each. So yeah. I think credit to them. They've done very well. They've only both lost 1 game. So I mean, yeah, they're both good teams. It'll be interesting. Our next 2 games are against Saudi Arabia and then Japan. So, if we get 4 points from that, let's say we beat Japan and then, beat Saudi Arabia and then draw with Japan, it puts us in a good position to
qualify.
I'd
back us to beat Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I think we will beat Saudi Arabia at home. Adelaide, I've heard it is. So,
yeah,
I feel like Moy and Rogic are in the squad. I don't know. Anything can happen. But we'll move on to the next game.
Like I said, we're not going to be on any shit pitches for the rest of qualifying. So, because Japan will be a good pitch too. So we can play our sort of football. We can play the sort of football we want to play. So it's all down to us at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. The good thing here is that could work in our favour is Japan plays Saudi Arabia on the final day. And we versus Thailand at home. So, I mean, we could pretty much pencil that in. We're going to win against Thailand, you'd expect. I mean,
yeah.
So let's say we do beat Thailand. We beat Saudi Arabia. That really takes us to 19 points. And that's 3 above what Japan and Saudi Arabia are on right now. And if we get a point against Japan, you'd think it'd be enough for us to qualify second, assuming Japan would beat Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it'll all fall. I think we're going to qualify, especially after getting the win last night. If we hadn't have won last night, then I would have been really shitting my pants. But yeah, I think the win last night was very big, which we will move on to now, Jordan.
We will. The transition's perfect. Australia 2, UAE 0. Slightly changed squad. The changes for this game, Matt Ryan came into goal. Milligan was out of, was moved into the midfield. Sainsbury came into defence and played very, very well. Troisi came in and started ahead of Luongo. Milligan, as I said, moved into midfield. Moy was suspended for this one. Brad Smith started ahead of Robbie Cruz. And a much better performance here, Jake. I mean, I didn't watch it. Like we mentioned, just slightly in the earlier part of our rant to FFA, there was FFA Cup games on last night, and it probably didn't help the crowd attendance for this one, which I believe was in the vicinity of 27,000. Which isn't good, because a national team game, you'd want to fill out the stadium, because literally everyone in the country is supporting that team. But whatever, I'm not going to go into that. The crowds are just shit for football. Do something different. But Australia got the win. Matt Ryan, largely untested, apart from an early free kick from Abdul Rahman, which is surprising. He's still playing at the level he is.
He must be earning an absolute fuck ton of money.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I was as good as him and I was playing in the Saudi Arabian League, I think it is, I'd expect to be on a bit of money, because he's probably good enough for a top league, to be honest. But yeah, whatever, it is what it is. Jake, performance was largely better, wasn't it? I'm going to go to you for the most part of this review, because I wasn't watching. But from all accounts, Jake, a positive performance. Not outstanding, but better than UAE. Oh, and better than our game against Iraq.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just we didn't play fantastic. Realistically, it was the first 70 minutes was a carbon copy of the Iraq game. Really, we scored an early-ish goal, and we sort of invited the pressure onto us, which was very frustrating. But at the end of the day, we got the win, and that's all that matters to me. Is we needed to get the win. I didn't care how we got it. I didn't care if we went out and demolished him or if we scratched through a 1-0 win. The most important thing was that we got 3 points. And the only slight concerning thing for me is the fact our three goals out of the two games were all from corners. So we're struggling from open play, which we're obviously not going to be able to go to a World Cup or go to the Confederations Cup or anything like that and go too deep if we're relying on scoring from corners every single game, because I think we'll get come up against opposition teams that are a lot better at defending corners than Iraq and... we're going to come up against better defending corners teams, better defending corners than them. But at the same time, you've got to score your goals. You've got to take your chances. Makes me wonder why James Troisi can't put in corners like that for Melbourne victory. But at the end of the day, 3 points is all that matters. We got the win. We played reasonably well. I don't think we were really too worried about it, realistically. UAE aren't exactly a team that worries me too much, apart from Abdul Rahman. Like I said, the most important thing is got the win. Like I said earlier too, if we hadn't have got the win here, we would have been very, very, very concerned about our chances of automatic qualification. But I feel like we're sewn up top three, which is the main thing right now, I guess. But now it's just a matter of pushing for that top two.
Troisi, shout out to Troisi, big game. Two assists, 5 key passes. Ran the show, from what I've heard. Basically, was the catalyst to most of our best attacks for the game. And good on him. Good to see Matthew Leckie as well getting on the score sheet. Widely known that he's not the biggest scoring player in the international stage. So good to see him score 2 goals this international sort of qualifying phase. Jackson Irvine, again, I know you're a big fan of him because you literally told me I'm a big fan of Jackson Irvine me. You can quote. look, he's not been on many people's radars as an international player. Realistically, because he is playing in the Championship for Burton Albion, hasn't played in the A-League. Realistically, not since, youth level. And he's been in Scotland, just moved to England, so not many people know about him, but he's actually a very classy player. He scored 9 goals in the Championship this season from a central midfield position. So he's certainly a good player. He certainly showed his class in not only last night's game, but also against Iraq in patches. So it was good to see. And he's still young. He's 23... if I'm not mistaken. So that's 24, sorry. So he's got heaps of time on him, probably 5 or 6 years at a very good level before he starts declining, as everyone normally does after 30. But good on him. And he might get a move to the Premier League, is what I've heard, Jake, next year, which would be great to have him and Aaron Mooy potentially playing in the Premier League. Even Massimo Luongo has been linked to a Premier League move, so it could be exciting for Australia's midfield next year, leading into the World Cup, and even leading into the Confederations Cup, if they'll get moves at the end of the season. They'll all go into it with a lot of confidence, but good for Australia, good for Irvine, good for everybody that we got the win. 4 points from 6 is not a bad return, and we can be happy. I guess we can't be upset by it because we didn't lose, but we can overall be happy we got 4 points, and we can move on to the next stage of qualifying in goodish form, I guess. Maybe.
Well, like I said, the most important thing is that we won. So, like I said before too, I'm a massive, massive fan of Jackson Irvine. I feel like he's a player that Australia needs. Like, he's just one of those players that will just sit in the midfield or attack well, but will just sit in the midfield, do his job, won't make too much of a fuss about it. He reminds me a lot of Tom Davies as well, like with the style that he presents himself, like the low socks, the slicked back hair. He just loves diving into a tackle, loves getting his elbows out and getting stuck into players and stuff. So yeah, just I think he's one of those players that Australia definitely needs, just one of those no bullshit sort of snotty sort of player, so yeah, I really like
him. We'll kick on. We'll quickly just preview the A-League this weekend, Jay. We'll just go with prediction here and here. YOLO YOLO. Adelaide hosting Perth on Friday night. Big game for Adelaide. Same really for Perth. I feel like Adelaide's going to get the win here though, Jake. Their form just turned around. Perth didn't look too good on the weekend. I feel like they're a sneaky chance here of getting the W.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
Actually, this is the game that Perth totally dominated when they last went.
Yeah, Perth won 5-0 last time these guys played high much. But Adelaide, obviously, a much better team since then. I think it'd be a draw. I think Perth are just in a weird situation where Perth could honestly come out and win this 5-0 again. Like, they're a class team, but Adelaide are a lot better team than last time these two teams played. So I'm just going to sit on the fence and go a draw, Jordan.
Going an Adelaide 3-1 win here, Jake. Get it right. Newcastle Jets hosting Western Sydney Wanderers. Western Sydney, for me, will continue their form and really kick on for a fifth-place finish this season, if my last prediction is anything to go by. Will they win here in Newcastle?
Yeah, Western Sydney will win this. I think Newcastle has been very, very disappointing over the last month. Western Sydney are really starting to hit some good form. I think they'll continue that form and leapfrog Perth into fifth place.
Undefeated in their last five against Newcastle, Western Sydney. So good form against them. Sydney FC host Melbourne City. Sydney FC will continue their good form this season with a win here, I reckon, against City.
I think City will win this. I think Sydney, like I said, not taking anything away from Sydney this season. They've been absolutely class, but I think this is a game where City will try and really turn up, I guess. They'll have a fair bit of their squad back. Well, they've only lost two players, realistically, but they'll have their squad back. A few weeks ago, played absolutely fantastic against Wellington. And then they did against Newcastle as well. So, yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting one. I think it's going to be the game of the round. Sydney could come out and just absolutely demolish them, but I think City will win 2-1, Jordan.
Bit of an interesting one. Sydney have not beaten City at home since December 2013. Really? The last result since then, a 1-1 draw, another 1-1 draw, a 1-0 win to City, and a 1-1 draw to as well. So, probably a 1-1 draw this time. yeah, I think you might be on the ball here, but I reckon Sydney is going to get up. Victory host Wellington Phoenix. Phoenix getting back all their squad. Victory the same. I'm going to go for a victory.
Yeah, I think we'll get up. I think having our players back will be a massive factor. Wellington don't usually travel to Melbourne all that well. I think
just the one win in their history against Victory.
Yeah, and they don't usually travel too well to Melbourne in general against City as well. So, yeah, I think we'll get 3 points. It won't be too easy, though. I think Wellington has started to hit some good form and they're really trying to make a massive push at Western Sydney. But I think they've left that too late and I think we'll get the 3 points.
Yep, I agree. Brisbane Roar, another team that should win here against Central Coast Mariners. Roar. A class team on their day, and they're at home to Central Coast Mariners, who are struggling this season. I'm going to reckon they're going to tonk them about 5-0 here, Jake.
I don't think they're going to tonk them 5-0. I think Roar will get 3 points. I think this is a very good chance for McLaren to make a decent push at the Golden Boot, tell you that much. I think it'll be a 3-1 win with a Jamie McLaren hat-trick.
Wouldn't it be nice? Cadbury. that's all she wrote in episode 21 of the Everything A-League Hour. The Everything A-League Hour podcast. I have no idea. I'm cooked. I'm ready for sleep. I'm ready for some golf. Everyone have a good day. We'll be back on Friday, I think. It's the turn of the Premier League podcast. But until then, Jake.
Have a nice. I'm on top of the world. Hey.